In 2 Thessalonians 2:15, the Thessalonians had some controversy occurring. As you see in the second chapter, in the beginning part of that chapter, beginning in verse 1, 2:1. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come, that no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. So they've got this issue with them, and Paul talks to them in verse 15. He says, so then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now, we don't have those word of mouth things today, but we have the letters, don't we? And hold fast. Stand firm. And the traditions, those things have been handed down. And handed down by whom? The apostle. So the apostle doctor tells us stand firm to things. It's when you come up against an issue of any sort. Look to the scriptures and that which has been written in a letter from us. So we can have great confidence in that as we study the word each day and in our home studies. Now, to begin with, the church. This most basic idea, we see again that word occurs about 115 times in the New Testament. And in those words, okay, church, what does it mean? Well, a basic thing we can start looking at is a dictionary definition. Now, if we look at dictionaries, and I saw one, say, 50 years ago or 100 years ago, and I see one today, the number one definition, and there'd be multiple definitions if you look at dictionaries, what would the number one definition be 100 years ago or today? Could there be a change? Yes. Okay. Yes. So dictionaries reflect the common usage of a word. I don't know what in the dictionary in the New Testament times, but if we see those things change over the years. So as we're looking at definitions and we start, we've got the, I updated it to 2018, and the first one it says is a building for public or especially Christian worship. And churches have pews and steeples and baptistries. Well, that's the common number one usage, perception, concept, okay, that you kind of see in the world. And you see it, whether news reports or papers and that sort of thing, you see that. So, is that a good definition? Okay. Back that up. All right. So,
most of the people, but according to the Bible, it's called out as the church people.
Yes, that's a, yeah. If we and if we're looking for definitions, I guess, can there be confusion that results if you take a definition today and something in this 21st century? And then something back in the first century. There could be confusion, couldn't there? Okay? And what we want to avoid in our lives and the way we represent Christ and the church, that sort of thing, is we want to deal with definitions that pertain to how a word, if we can ascertain it, the way it was used in the first century. Okay? Yes, sir.
I always was taught, not that it's right or wrong, I'm not going to argue, church in the New Testament means the called out, from the Greek word ekklesia.
Correct.
Called out of the world into God's marvelous light. And so it's actually the people, I suppose, that make up the church. It's not a building. It's nothing.
That's correct.
It's nothing. Okay. I'm quick.
Okay. So, and that's exactly what we're dealing with in this course, that we want to deal in the first century and how, and these God-breathed words, when he wrote the word church, how is it dealt with there, and who does it represent? What? So we're saying people, and people is exactly right. Okay, whenever you think of church, we're going to think of people. Now, and we're going to continue in the next few minutes here, but we'll see coming up in these next explanation on this course in lesson one, that when they used the word ecclesia, it had different connotations and different usage of the type of people that were being talked about, and what a relationship they had, whatever was going on at that time. So when the first one, again, in common usage is a building, and we understand that. And the second one on your listing, of course, is the clergy or officialdom, a religious body. And, you know, it says the church ruled as you can eat fish and no meat on Fridays and that sort of thing. And that's an interesting point, that there's some officials and they make, a profession and authority out of that, and as a church. And it's interesting on the fish part, when I was in, I guess you'd say, first through eighth grade, it's all basically two buildings, that when we went to the cafeteria to eat on Fridays, guess what was never there? Well, no, meat. Okay? We had fish sticks on Fridays. Okay, they were pretty good. Okay, I think I continue to eat them now. We had some last week. But the point is, there's in that school system and others, they did not have meat on Fridays. They had fish. And so I'm not saying that was a religious school or anything, but it's an interesting thing how it blends over, okay, in everyday lives. Now, the third one there is a body organization of religious believers. Now, sounds pretty close, doesn't it? Sounds what we're talking about. All right? Got to get down to the third definition. But it's a body organization of religious believers. Now, 3A, the whole body of Christians. 3A, the whole body of Christians. If you think of the whole body of those who have been saved, what do we call that? It starts with a U. Universal. All right? And that's a good definition, okay? Whole body of believers. Of course, we need to deal with that in context, and we'll see how the word church is used in different verses. Now, and while I'm here, on that whole body of Christians, if you read religious books and you read religious commentaries, whether denominations or just general religious, and you see the word Catholic, what do you think about? The Pope. Okay. What you'll find out is that word Catholic is universal, the word universal. Now, it's an interesting point that says Roman Catholic. Okay, it's kind of a area than universal. It's kind of a strange association of two words. But the point is, be aware of that, because, like we're saying, the usage of words is important. And if you're reading along in a commentary or some other religious book and it says, you know, the Catholic Church, that may not mean Roman Catholic. It may mean the universal church. Okay? So keep that in mind as you look at it. I've run across that myself. And just a thought on that. Now, and 3B... it's a denomination. Well, you think of a religious body of believers, you think of a denomination. Now, and I think we understand denomination is when you gathered, not people, you gathered churches together, okay, multiple peoples who believe in Christ, okay? And that's a denomination, and that's what we want to share. And like you were saying, it called out, it's only with people. It's never, never, never a church looked at as a church. Now, and the last is a congregation, like we have in this group here. And a congregation is a good word. It's a good word. If you want to exchange the word church, congregation, you can. Well, it's a good word there in its definition. And number four is a public divine worship. And what we could sing in church, pray in church. What would I mentioned a while ago, universal church. What could be another word for this one?
Local.
Local, okay. Assembled. See? Yeah. Well, you find the word universal church if you look up U, you know, and as a word search on the Bible. Well, no, you won't find the word universal. But the concept is there. The concept of a universal body of believers and the concept of a local body of believers in two big contexts there. So let's remember that, or assembled sense. Now, and then number five there is a clerical profession. And you can do that as a career inside of a church. All right? So those are common things that you'll see from a dictionary, and the order is that way. And as an interesting point, I was seeing a movie the other day on the idea of placing words or definitions 1, 2, 3, 4 and that sort of thing based on usage at that particular time. And then we was looking at a movie in 1944. And the individual there was a happy individual, if I may say gay individual. It said that. It said he was gay in it. So if you would pull probably a dictionary up in the 40s, you would have the number one definition being
happy,
cheerful, that sort of thing, excited. But I pulled one up this week, and it was interesting. You didn't get to number three definition before you got to the idea of happy and excited and that sort of thing. The first two dealt with homosexuality. It's interesting, okay? And that's just a reflection of the times and the uses of a dictionary. So be aware of the definitions 1, 2, 3, 4 and that sort of thing when you get to a dictionary. Now, if someone says that the church has a steeple, or we're going to go clean the church, okay? At work day. Is that okay? Should you correct them on the spot?
It's the same thing almost as I'm going to church. You don't go to church. I am the church. You are the church.
Well, we could go to the church in an assembled sense.
Okay,
that's right. Okay? So, in effect, we are going to assembly. Okay. But should you criticize someone for that straight away?
Wouldn't
understand it, okay, and that's a good opportunity. And why should you correct someone if that's the common usage? They're just using the common usage, okay? And there's so many more things, and that could open a door for you. So be aware of that. All right, just a thought. I've had that tendency to do that myself. Now, the term itself, church, ecclesia. It's called a collective noun. And when I say collective, the smaller piece of that is collect, isn't it? All right? There's something in common, okay, that makes that noun represent things that are collected for some purpose or another. Now, and the definition I have here is a collective noun is the name of a group or class considered as a unit. And it gives some examples there of a flock or a class or group or crowd or gang. And so it's a noun for a group or a class considered as a unit. So it's a word that collects things. As a brother said here, and this is the object of the thing, it collects individuals. Okay. Now, and the second one here Number two, a noun that denotes a collection of persons or things regarded as a unit. Same idea. So if we're thinking about these examples coming up here, one would be a chain, one may be a herd of animals. And if we think of a chain, and the word chain is the collective noun, what does a chain collect?
Links,
doesn't it? All right? I know I've had chains in my truck and pulling heavy objects and that sort of thing, and sometimes I'll break a chain. Not easy to do, but you can break a chain. Is it still a chain? Can it still achieve what it wants to achieve with a broken link? No. All right? So there's an association when one link clips to another or is welded into another. That's the service, the collective part of it, the collective noun. So there's your chain. Now, is one bird a flock? Is one bee a hive? No. All right? So what I'm getting at here is when we deal with this collective nouns, a chain is composed of multiple links. It's like a flock is composed of multiple birds. Or a hive is composed of multiple bees. So when we think of the word church, it's a collective noun because it's collecting something and they have something in common. All right? Now, where in the Bible does it tell you it's a collective noun?
First Corinthians 12 talks about the body being
members. Yes. Yeah. It God has chosen to communicate with all of us. And how is that communication to us today? By the Word, isn't it? So, is the words that we use are words, collective nouns, okay? Verbs, adjectives, and all that sort of thing, okay? Figures. Are those words in our common language? Yes, that's the way we communicate, isn't it? So God has chosen the word church as a collective noun to convey to each of us the concept of the church. Okay? Now, so there's nothing strange about what I'm saying.
Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
If you want to be a stickler about it, God hasn't actually chosen the word church. He's chosen the word ecclesia, which we have translated into the word church. I don't know how you get from ecclesia to church, but...
The Greek word ecclesia is the word, okay, for church. And yes, the original scriptures were written in those Greek language, and that's been translated into English. But even with the careful study of that word, they use the word church. Okay, but you're right, okay? So what, did God choose the word ecclesia?
This word goes right now.
Yeah, okay, all right. When he wrote the New Testament, that's the language they used. Now, so when we're dealing with that as a collective noun, it collects things. If you have a class, okay, out in the hallway out here, well, what those classes are composed of, the units of it are what? Students, okay? But what do they have in common in each room? What things could they have in common?
Age.
Age, sure. We do age, don't we? Okay. Yeah, what the topic is, maybe, okay? So there's, teacher. All right, so there's things that you just don't have random individuals. There's things that tie them together. It's common to them. All right? And we'll go into that now. So let's look then and the concept that, as Linda mentioned, I think in 1 Corinthians 12, okay?
Doug, just one point on ecclesia.
Yes, sir.
Whether you use the Greek word ecclesia or the English word church, they're both collecting down. They don't change a thing.
That's right. Okay? In their day, when they used ecclesia, it was still a collective noun.
Right.
Okay, when it was originally penned. All right. Now, in the when the Holy Spirit caused Paul to write in 1 Corinthians 12, there's a concept there about the body that we need to consider. And this gets back again to the individuals. The individual concept. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, and you see the words there, one Christian is not a church. No more than one bird is a flock. All right? And in 1 Corinthians 12, of course, dealing with spiritual gifts, and up in the first part, there's a question they were answering. But it's truth nonetheless that in verse 12, for even as the body is one, of course, that's a comparison going on the word as, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. And it goes on to talk, explain that a little bit in 15, and next few verses. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? Verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? Now, I think you get the idea that the body is composed of parts, I guess you'd say. But one part is not the body. Now, so when we get down to verse 20, but now there are many members, but one body. Many members of the body, but one body. And when we go down to verse 27, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Individually members of it. Now, and that fits very well with the idea when we look over in Ephesians 1:22. Ephesians 1:22, when we've all heard this verses before. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So as we noted in these verses, that one Christian is not a church. All right? The church composed of members, is it? Okay? It's not composed of groups of people. Individuals it's composed of. So we're laying some groundwork here to deal with that issue. Now, and that's very important later on as we move into the course, which you already know. So, is Christ, when he said that in Ephesians, is he ruling over groups of people as a group, or is he ruling over individuals? Individuals. Okay? So that's something to keep in our mind as we go through the course, that his rule and dominion, salvation, all that is with an individual. All right, now, this collective noun, ecclesia, church, is illustrated in different ways, but it collects different things, okay, in the New Testament. And we're starting that in number B there. And the first one we have is Israelites in Acts 7:38. Before I get to these three, if I say to you, let's go to the meeting, what do you say?
Okay,
I'll see you there. See you at the meeting.
What?
Yeah, one meeting. I'll see you at the gathering. I'll see you at the assembly. Well, where? Where is it? What is it? What's the content? What's the aim of it? What's the purpose? Where's the authority behind it? What's going on? So when you think of the word church, think of that. It collects people. But here I say, go to the meeting. Okay, we're people. We're going to go to a meeting. But where is it? Can you imagine going to work? All right, got a meeting. Well, and you wonder, well, what floor, which group? What time? So when you think of the word church, think of it as that way. Now, it was used in at least these three ways here, four ways, okay, in the New Testament when God chose to write down the word ecclesia through the inspired apostles, prophets. And Acts 7:38, what word there, especially if you have a King James, all right, or a New King James. My two ladies with those two books are not here, all right. Oh, yes, one of them's here, New King James, all right. What do you see in Acts 7:38 there? What word there would you think is the word used for church?
Congregation.
That's like I said a while ago, that's a good word. That's a good word. Now, what did it group when you say Acts 7:38? What time frame first?
Israelites.
Yeah, okay. Israelites. Yeah, Israelites. And this is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness, together with the angel who was speaking to him on Mount Sinai, and he was with our fathers, and he rejected living oracles to pass on to you. Now, what's interesting, when you see, you may have a little one beside the word congregation in your Bible. And what does it say in the margin? Ecclesia, all right. So, would it be confusing somewhat if you said, oh, church? Back then?
Real hard in church.
Unless you understand, okay? So that's why some of the newest translation beside the King James, okay, the New King James, have put the word, congregation there versus the word church. They recognize some confusion can result from that, okay? For today's 21st century person, the 20th century or 22nd century, all right? So that word there is ecclesia. Now, again, what were they gathering here? Israelites, weren't they? Okay? And something to think about in the usage of the word. So, just from that one example, does the word ecclesia denote religion? No. Okay, just denotes people. Okay? It's collected. They're collected for some purpose, some reason. All right? So that's why this word congregation is used, or church and that sort of thing. So I'm just trying to deal with the general sense of it. Now, in our next appearance of the word ecclesia is in Acts 19:32. So then, some were shouting one thing and some another, for the assembly was in confusion and the majority did not know for what cause they had come together. And some of the crowd concluded it was Alexander, since the Jews had put him forward, and on and on there. So, In 32, you see a little number again beside the word assembly. What word do you see in your margin on that? Okay. You'll see the word ecclesia also. So that's our word church that's translated for us. Now, what's a characteristic of this collected people? What was bringing them together on this occasion, and how are they acting? Yeah, loud, a mob, a riot. Okay, so they had a purpose. Okay, some knew it, some didn't. Okay, but the point is, that's that word church, ecclesia. All right, okay. So they had a, what was that, religious? Well, kind of. All right, they were together. But the point is, though, it was a riot with riotous people. All right. Now, in this next, in the same 19th chapter, in that verse 39, okay, as you go forward here, they've got this riot going on. They've got an individual there who's trying to calm things down. He's trying to put some order to the situation. So they've got another mention of this word ecclesia in verse 39. But if you want anything beyond this, it shall be settled in the lawful assembly. In the lawful assembly. And that word again is ecclesia there. Look at that in your margin. So here is a body of individuals, not the riot people anymore, not the mob, but the word here, ecclesia, church, okay, is used for a legal assembly, a town council, something that has some authority with it, because the last thing they wanted was a riot in these areas, because that could bring in, okay, armies to take care of it, because Rome didn't like they didn't like disturbances, you know, inside the colonies, okay, and the territory that they control, because taxes would be affected and it takes manpower to control all that. So they were moving towards keeping things peaceful if they could. So here's a individual in this lawful assembly, okay, trying to quiet this. So the word church. And call it Greek citizens, that sort of thing, a local government. And this town clerk was trying to deal with that. So we've seen three uses of that word ecclesia, church, okay, in three different instances, haven't we? All right? Whether it's, and if we say Israelites or rioters or Greek citizens, each one was grouped a certain way. They were collected a certain way because of certain characteristics. Okay, that was common. That was common between them. All right? We do it every day, don't we? Sure. All right? We say words that are collective nouns that collect people for a certain time frame, a certain action they're doing, a certain something in common with them. Now, in the last one, in point four, under B, we're going to look at Acts 2:47 and 1 Corinthians 1:2. And you'll see, interesting here, how we can deal with a church with different or the same individuals, we'll see as we read. Now, when I'm looking at Acts chapter 2 and 47, what had just happened, I guess you'd say, in Acts chapter 2? People were obeying God, okay? When Peter's standing up with the others, okay? Preach, some would say, the first sermon, okay? And when he was doing that, he ends up in verse 47. Well, let's see. Peter told him what to do in Acts 38 after they were pierced to the heart in 37. And they repent of each one to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Okay, forgiveness of your sins. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when they're dealing with the abiding in the apostles' doctrine, they're being saved and that sort of thing. In verse 47, it says in this version, as again opposed to the King James, the New King James, in this version, in 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Okay? Sins being forgiven. Okay? As they were told about who Jesus was, okay, and what he had done. They want to respond to that, to have clear consciences and to be saved by God. Now, in the King James Version, which is a little different manuscript, okay, that's saved, or is it added there to what? You may already know. Added to the church. All right. Now, at this particular time, they're added to the church. And we know that this says here it's the saved individuals because of Christ's sacrifice, atoning blood. So they're added to whom? All the saved. Okay? All the saved. Now, can we say that that's a universal church? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. That's a good example of it. Because did we add, when a person wants to come into this congregation, who adds them to this congregation? The local church. All right? We add them to the local church. All right? Okay? But who adds to the universal church? The Lord does. Jesus does. Does he make mistakes? No. All right? So, you couldn't say it is the universal church because those are the ones that he has chosen. And again, he doesn't make mistakes. Now, what's interesting on that, the other verse here, again using the word church, at 1 Corinthians 1:2. And when you deal with 1 Corinthians 1:2, as in contrast to this somewhat, using the word church, beginning in verse 1, Paul called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Thessalonians our brother. So the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, and all those in every place call upon the name of the Lord. Now, this one here is a church of God, of Christ. It's interchangeable, all right? But this church here is grouped how? Not Corinth, okay? Called a local church. All right? Yes, sir.
Doug, could you say that there were several congregations in Corinth, but he's speaking to the church, so that's the group of Christians that are in Corinth?
If he was saying the church is of Corinth, then that would tell me there's multiple congregations in Corinth. But since he uses church of Corinth, I'm going to lean towards that's one congregation, not make that jump. And we'll see the word churches come up here and remaining of the course, and how that can affect your mind, how it can make you think a little differently. All right? And again, that's a point of confusion, too, when you deal with that, okay, when we're dealing with the idea of the work of the church and that sort of thing. Okay?
Doug?
Yes, sir.
Acts 2:47 looks at people collected based on their fellowship with Christ, vertical fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:2 uses the word church to collect people by virtue of horizontal fellowship, their fellowship with one another, and they had that fellowship when they met together in Corinth. That's the locality. They may not have lived in Corinth, but that's the locality of their fellowship one with another. Thus, we call it the local church. The One is vertical fellowship, one is horizontal fellowship.
And when we say a vertical, okay, fellowship, that's because Christ himself added them to it, to that group of the saved. And again, when we're dealing with horizontal, like we said a while ago, who determines that local fellowship, that local sharing, okay, of the things in Christ? People, individuals do that. Now, can you exist in a local congregation? No. Can you exist in a local congregation with vertical and horizontal? I hope so. All right. All right. So it's exactly right, the idea of horizontal and vertical, of who adds you to it. Now, so there are just a couple examples of a vertical and horizontal. Now, in the next part of that, in the next part of C, collected or grouped on the basis of something common between the units. What's common? What's common between units? We've already seen that it could be a riotous attitude. It could be things you were together in as Israelites. Okay? So, is it something more than just a plurality? Well, there's a lot of us here. Is that the common factor? No, you need more than that, don't you? You need more than that. Okay? To be a collective noun. Now, just like one link is not a chain, see, you need more links, don't you? Connected. Because they don't serve their purpose unless they're connected. Now, I've got an example on B there of cattle and a herd. Same idea of being a hive. But if I'm thinking about collecting, I guess it's time, huh? All right? But leave you this thought. If I've got a pasture with cows in it, cattle in it, okay, I've got 10 or 15 or 20 of them out there, what things would be in common between them? Possibility of being in common. Well, they're in the same pasture. They may be owned by the same people, but you may have the same pasture, and I may be collecting by ownership. Oh, see, there's 10 of them out there. Oh, see, I own 5 of them, and we're sharing a pasture, and you know, Ennis has 5 of them. So now if we're collecting them by ownership, got two owners, don't I? So it depends how you're collecting these individuals. Okay, on what purpose, what aim, what concept, that sort of thing. So we'll get into that, but that's something to think about. And we'll start there next time. Thank you very much.